right. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 15. And I want to, Matthew chapter 15, I think I'm going to start at verse 29. And I'm going to read several of the following, if y'all will bear with me this morning. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to look at begin at verse 29 and read several of the following. All right, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking. The blind could see again, and they praised the God of Israel. Verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the way. The disciples replied, Where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd? Jesus asked, How much bread do you have? They replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and the fish, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to the disciples who distributed them to the distributed food to the crowd. Verse 37 says, They all ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were 4,000 men who were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Then Jesus sent the people home, and he got into the boat and crossed over to the region of Magadan. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Amen. I'd like for you to hang out just for a minute with me around verse 31. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. Amen. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking. The blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. Amen. We're going to hang out right there in verse 31 for a little while if you guys don't mind. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your people. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for this, the spirit of praise that is in this place on today, Father God. Lord God, I pray right now that if I'm too high, that you would lower me. But if I'm too low, Father God, lift me up and put me on a plane of existence on which you would have me to speak on this day. Dip me down into the treasures of your word, Father God. Hide me behind your cross, Lord God. Lord, the people came to see you, Lord, not to see me. The people came to hear you, Lord God, and not me. Lord, so God, I just ask you right now to that I would decrease, Lord God, so that you may increase. Lord God, forgive me for my many sins, those that I committed that I knew of, and Father God, those that I knew not. We just thank you and praise you today for your word, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, that is the remission for all of our sins, Father God. Lord, we just ask you to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in this lesson on today, Lord God. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 I want to talk about today, just for a few minutes, from poverty to praise. From poverty to praise. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to talk about from poverty to praise. My brothers and sisters, today, it's widely believed that since we live in a world that has come from nowhere, that is actually headed nowhere. Our sense of well-being is only to be found through what we wear, amen, what we eat, what we drink, and where we live. This country, my brothers and sisters, that we live in, this Arthur City, Texas, this Paris, Texas, this Roxton, Texas, amen, my brothers and sisters, it is actually lapsing into a form of paganism. Amen? It's the self-help spiritual, the spirituality through the possession of things. So everybody, amen, measures themselves up based on what they have, what kind of car they drive, whether they have on Gucci or not, whether or not they're carrying a Gucci purse or Michael Kors purse or a Coach bag. Seems like the world we live in. What happened to, amen, going to Walmart and just getting your faded glory bag and being satisfied with that? Amen. What happened to buying your kids tough skin jeans? Amen. And Grananimals. But now you got to be Gucci from head to toe. Polo down. From socks to the top. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? It's the self-help spirituality through the possession of things that we deal with, Darren. What happened to going to get that dollar store guitar? You got to go get a Fender with the big thing down here on the bottom. What happened to just plugging in to the amp? Y'all going to pray with me this morning? My brothers and sisters, but while it may superficially provide some sort of short-term gain, it can never satisfy the deep aching inside. All of this stuff that we have, that new car that you had to have, you don't even wash it anymore. Because it's old now. The one you just had to have, you don't even wash it. You don't even park it in the garage no more. You just park it out front. That new purse that you used to, that purse that you wanted so bad that you worked overtime to get, or made him work overtime to get it for you, it's on Swap Shop for $20 right now. My brothers and sisters, like all idols, it leaves us shortchanged. But what happens when the true God steps into our situation? When our felt needs are seen for what they are, the symptoms of a deeper need. Looking for love in all the wrong places. My brothers and sisters, we are looking, amen, for satisfaction in all the wrong places. Y'all remember someone said, I can't get no satisfaction. He said, I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. I can't get no. Hey, hey, hey. Some of us ought to sing that song. Because we always want more. Some of y'all sick of Orange Chapel right now because you want more. I keep going down there, but I'm just not satisfied. Pastor just not meeting my needs. Well, you had too many needs when you came. We trying to work on them one at a time. You didn't know how messed up you came in for oil change. Your motor was about to blow. You leaking. when our felt needs are seen for what they are, there are symptoms of a deeper need. Amen. Whoa, man, I'm feeling good about this one this morning. Well, let's look at this. I believe that we can find an answer, Darren, right here in this word. So let's look at this account of an episode in the life of Jesus Christ. You know, if we follow Jesus Christ, we can find us. Because when as he was walking, as he was ministering, as he was preaching, as he was teaching, guess what? You and I were in the audience. Yeah. Hallelujah. Some of us need to be cleansed. Some of us, amen, need these demons to be pulled out of us. Some of us need to be healed. Some of us need to be made whole. Some of us just need a little bit of encouragement. Oh, so let's follow Jesus today, Tony. Let's follow Jesus. My brothers and sisters, when we look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 29, let's deal with verse 29 through 31. It says, Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down, and a vast crowd brought him was brought to him who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. See, that's your situation, many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, what we have to understand is there is a universal need for Christ. There's a universal need. Christ, everybody needs Christ. Everybody needs Jesus. Your granny, your daddy, your pawpaw, they need Jesus. These politicians that's tripping right now, they need Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. Just like all fallen people in this world, Jesus' audience was spiritually impoverished and they needed something, Darren. The first thing that these people needed in Matthew chapter 15 is was they needed the teaching of Jesus. My brothers and sisters, we need the teaching of Jesus. You can get all the self-help books you want, but you need the Word of God. You need that stuff that's in red ink in your Bible. You need what thus said the Lord. We fall short because we tend to just follow the teaching of anybody. Big Mama says some good stuff, but if it ain't Bible, sometimes you can't apply that stuff that Big Mama and them use. Sometimes it don't fit for this time. But I tell you what, this word is everlasting. And everlasting, it fits all. It's universal. Hallelujah, somebody. It's black, it's white, it's Asian, it's Mexican, it's African, whatever you may be. Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. Some of them others, though, they not. You better get hooked up with Jesus' teaching. Because them... There's no other way. Jesus first goes to the mountain and he sits down. Did y'all see that? In verse 29, he climbed the hill and he sat down. He climbed the mountain and he sat down. The mountain would have provided a natural amphitheater to carry his voice. So he sits up on the mountain. And now, have anybody ever been in the mountains? And did you do this? Hello? Hello, 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 hello. So his voice would carry. So he placed himself high, high and lifted up so it could reach those that needed it. See, my uncle would be proud of me because I'm standing in the pulpit right now. He said, because sometimes you got to stay up there. So Jesus put himself up on the hill. Amen. And he used the natural things that he had in order to be like an amphitheater so everybody could hear him and understand what he's saying. And then what was awesome about this is in that day, the sitting position was the position of an authoritative teacher or a master teacher. So when you really knew what you were talking about, like if I was really an awesome preacher, I'd sit up here and give it to y'all like this. That's what a master teacher would do in those days, in the Bible days. And this is what Jesus did. He went up and he sat on the mountain as a master teacher, an authoritative teacher that knew exactly what he was talking about. Hallelujah, somebody. Isn't it awesome to receive it from a master? Anybody, any of you college students, you have a professor that's just so profound in everything that he says? Like, no. Any of you have a pastor that when he stands up before you, amen. And he gives you the word. Hallelujah. Thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, get me out of self right now. But the crowds were not made up of, look at this. The crowds, Sister Braxton, were not made up of Jews. The Jews were the chosen people. But this particular crowd was mostly Gentiles. Those who have no relationship with Jesus. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is so powerful. He can pull out folks that don't even have a relationship with him. There's something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest thing I know. Oh, how I love it. While we was out there, and how many of y'all was pulled out of your mess into the church? Pulled you out from what you were doing. Pulled you out from your Saturday nights and said, I'm going to make a brighter Sunday morning for you. No longer will you have to walk the walk of shame on Sunday morning, but you're going to walk to Sunday school on Sunday morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. Obviously, God wants, he wants those people too that don't know who he is. That's why Jesus is here teaching them as he taught others, bringing God's word to their needy situation. So there were some folks out there, my brothers and sisters, there's some folks out there that need what you got. Sister Tammy, there's somebody that needs to know about that man that you sang about named Jesus. Sister Amber, there's somebody that needs to know who that man is that you serve named Jesus. Sister Braxton, there's some folks in prison. Everybody can't get into prison, but you can. But there's some brothers and some sisters in that prison behind those prison walls that need to know who Jesus is. And need to know that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he's a deliverer. What? And he'll shake your situation to the point where the shackles will fall off. I'm so glad that I was shaken. Hallelujah, church. They also, my brothers, not only do they need, amen, the teaching of Jesus Christ, but this particular group of people, they need the healing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, you know, we go to the doctor. I'm sick. I need to go to the doctor. Get down here and see doctor. You know what they say about doctors? They practice medicine. They just practicing. That's why one thing don't work, they tell you something else. Oh, well, that pill didn't work. Okay, let me get my book. If you want a show enough fix for your situation, turn it over to Jesus. Ooh, I can just stop right there. Look at verse 30. And a vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus and he healed them. Oh, hallelujah. Then verse 31 says, the crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were now talking. The crippled were made to be well, and the lame were walking, and the blind could see again, and they praised God. They praised the God of Israel. Matthew, I believe, and I say all the time, if I had written a book, I would have wrote it a little different, but I didn't write it, and I might well just stay out of that. Because, see, I would have maybe wrote things a little different, but here, Matthew, I looked at this, and Matthew, my brothers and sisters, I believe Matthew could have given us a more descriptive of what went on. Don't you like to know all the little details? I know Minister Smith because she's a very detailed preacher. Can't you just see the things going on when she's preaching? I believe she was back in those days with a video camera. I think she had her iPhone just recording what was going on, especially in that Old Testament. My God. Can't you just see when she's preaching what she, it's just visual. It's just right there. Very detailed. And I wish that he had given us a more description of what actually went on. But all he says is he healed them. So I don't know if he laid hands on them. I don't know if he just spoke a word. But the Bible says at the end of the day, all we need to know is that he healed them. Amen. At the end of the day, all you need to know that you're healed, that you're set free. Amen. All them details don't matter. It don't matter if you fell out up here. All till you speak in tongues. My folk telling folks you ain't saved unless you speaking in tongues. I guess I can try hit y'all one right quick. You know what? That's speaking in tongues. And I'm not denouncing that at all because everybody has different gifts. I had some cousins, and I always talk about my folks. I bet y'all think I got some messed up folks. I do. Y'all do too. Y'all just don't talk about y'all's. But I try to tell you my situation in my life so to help you. Y'all had some cousins that used to teach people how to speak in tongues. You remember? They had classes in Dallas to teach you how to speak in tongues. And they was crooked as a barrel of snakes. Your pastor's cousins. They was distant, though. They didn't grow up in Big Mama's house like the rest of us. Look at this. But we know that he, but while Matthew may not have given us much by the way of description of the healing of themselves, but he does give us the reaction of the people to the effects of the healing. What did he say? One translation of the Bible says that the multitude marveled. I like that version. Marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified. I like that word. They glorified the God of Israel. Here is a visible and tangible demonstration of the nature of the one true God in Jesus Christ. Is that he healed, and then once he healed, there was a reaction from the people. Woo! How many of you been healed in here this morning? Well, you should have said hallelujah at least one time. You should have said thank you, Jesus, amen, this morning. It didn't show how it happened, but it did show the people's reaction. So guess what, my brother said? There should be a praise. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Woo! Sometimes you can just sign praise. I got a friend that has a dog that can't hear, but guess what? He knows sign language. Do like this. He'll go crazy. You better not wave at him. He just jumping and start. But other than that, he just stands still. So I realize some of y'all may need some sign. You can do sign language this morning. Amen. I do like that. You fall. Everybody fall out. But they all needed, Sister Roberta, they all needed. They need the teaching of Jesus, and they also needed the healing of Jesus, and it was universal. All y'all. Look at your neighbor and say, all y'all. Need the teaching of Jesus and the healing of Jesus. I tell you what, amen, that's permanent. And when he heals you, when he fixes it, it's fixed. It's fixed. You can't even mess it up. Y'all said amen. Some of y'all working on messing up his stuff. And also, not only, my brothers and sisters, is there a universal need? A need for the whole, but there's also a universal concern here. Look at this. Look at verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people who have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, for they may faint along the way. And then the Bible says, the disciples replied, where will we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd? And then Jesus asked, how much bread do you have? Then they replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish. Let's stop right there. There's a concern. Jesus Christ has a general concern for each and every one of you that are in here today. Did you know that? Amen. Your neighbor may not care. Your husband may not care. Your wife may not care. Your friends may not care. Your family may not care. But Jesus Christ cares about your situation. Though these people had been with Jesus, these people that not even his chosen people had been with him for 3 days, Tony. Now, they brought some provisions with them, but they had run out. Have you ever thought you were prepared and you ran out? They ran out. Ooh, that was loud. They ran out, Tony, and then the disciples were like, wait a minute, Jesus, man, we ain't got enough food. I'm not talking about feeding. Amen. I'm not talking about the two fish and five barley. This is a whole nother story. That's in chapter 14. Y'all realize how many people Jesus fed? And y'all realize everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd? That's why sometimes I struggle with this, where two or three are together touching and agreeing. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Now, I ain't dogging out a church that has two or three members in it, but don't you think everywhere I saw Jesus, folks wouldn't leave. All right. Y'all need to tell your friends, come on out here. We can feel it's building up. But there's a concern here. The real God is not stuck up on Mount Olympus. He's not the real God, my brother, is not stuck out somewhere out of reach or out of sight or in perfect seclusion from the plight of his subjects, as many of the Gentiles would have believed before the encounter with Jesus. So many Gentiles say, okay, you know what? I'm kind of with you on this whole Son of God thing, but if this was really a Son of God, he would be princely. He would be. He couldn't hang around with these folks, these drug dealers and these prostitutes and all this. He would be up somewhere because God is God. But look at Jesus right here. He had a universal concern for everything that was going on, even down to their bellies. And then he asked the disciples, he said, wait, what do we have here? So you know what? Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, you got to come prepared in order for God to bless what you got already. Multiply anything times a zero, what you get? Zero. So guess what, my brothers? You got to bring something with you. Because there was somebody else prepared, and there was a few fish and 7 loaves. He had something to work with. God wanted me to ask you this morning, does he have something? Do you have something that he can work with? Jan, you got something he can work with? Yeah, y'all remember y'all used to be in the club. Y'all see her walk back and say, I can work with that. She got a little something. I just had to make it real for some. I know some of y'all are like, oh, I can't believe he said it. But for somebody, I had to tell it like that. I can work with that. When I seen Candy, that's why I said, I can work with that. We wouldn't. Woo! He's right. Look at where Jesus is. He's there on the mountain. Right? Getting bit by the same mosquitoes. Hiding, trying to get away from the same fire ants. Sweating. Out there sweating. Sun beaming down on his head. Sweaty palms. Sandals dirty. Dirt between his toes. His body's getting tired. As hour after hour and day after day passes, as he heals and teaches and he heals and teaches and he heals and teaches, and then the people are still coming, thousands of them. Amen. What moved Jesus to these such lengths, my brother? What moved Jesus to do this? You ever thought about that? What moved Jesus to come down from his heavenly place? Wrap yourself up in this old nasty, dirty flesh for a wretch like me. Oh, I'm finna close this thing out. But thousands of them just kept on. So what moved them to this? The key word is in verse 32. Amen, my brothers and sisters, in verse 32 in the King James Version, it says, I have compassion on the multitude. He has compassion for you. Doesn't it seem like people in this world, nobody cares? People would rather see you struggling. Ooh, that show is sad about so-and-so. Oh, you know so-and-so had surgery. Oh, man, I don't know how they going to make it. Y'all know we love that old kind of talk. Ooh, she just depended on him her whole life. I don't know what she going to do. Yeah, no compassion, almost kind of happy. You know, I saw the young man from, was it South Carolina yesterday? Amen. The young man that messed his knee up. And they just kept on playing it over and over and over and over. Is that going to get you high ratings? Because everybody wants to see his knee do like that when they totally blew his knee out. Prospect to go to the NFL. You know, his hopes and dreams shattered because he got hit hard. I mean, but who has compassion? Do we have compassion? I couldn't watch it. I had to turn it off. Oh, compassion is what Jesus had for these people. And guess what? They were messed up folks, Darren. A lot of us want to, you know, it'd be great to just deal with people in the church that's good people. Amen? All I deal with just the deacons. No, I deal with the ones with liquor on their breath. I'm deal with them too. Got compassion on them because they need some help. Amen? That's what Jesus had. He had compassion on them. Amen? You know, you see somebody that's handicapped. You know, you see a retarded kid, you know, whatever. They, you know, I'm not being funny. I'm just being real. And then you kind of want to be like, come on, you retarded too. You messed up too. You messed up too. God has compassion on everybody. There's something messed up about every last one of us. And it's only by the grace of God that you're not messed up. Amen. That's visible. Amen. Let get in your mind and your thoughts. Shoot. I wouldn't talk to half of y'all. And half of y'all wouldn't talk to me. Get off in somebody's mind and how they think. But we all messed up. Look at the neighbor and say, you messed up. But Jesus fixed it up. See, that? There you go. There you go. Look at Mr. Smith. Look at these people. You better not be messed up. I done spent all these years with you. But my brothers and sisters here, but he had compassion on them. And in this word, and I'm finna close it out. Here the word means much more than pity. I feel so sorry. But it refers to an emotion which moves a person to the very depths of his being. Kind of like this. And I told y'all this story before, but for those of you who missed it, I'm gonna say it again like I repeat everything else I say. I know I repeat myself. All right? I repeat myself because this is where God placed me. Amen? And my ministry really hadn't changed yet. So, little baby's in the pen. Y'all heard this one before, but those of you who haven't, you're going to really like this. Little baby's in the playpen. Playing the playpen, and granddaddy walks by. And little baby says, Granddaddy says, hey, Junior, what's up, little baby? What's up? Little baby says, Oh, baby, what you want me to? You want me to get you out? Come on. I'm gonna say, hey, daddy, don't you get that boy out of there. You're going to spoil him. He said, what? I'm going to spoil him. He want to get out of here. He said, mama walked back. Daddy, don't you get that boy out of there. He already spoiled enough. Don't you get him out of that playpen. Granddaddy said, oh, man, he looked back. She went back in the kitchen. He said, well, tell you what, Junior. She said I couldn't get you out. But she didn't say I couldn't get in. So he get in the playpen with her. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Jesus has so much concern about your situation. Amen. When he can't pull you out, sometime he'll get right on in there with you. And then as I hurry to my close, oh, that's good stuff, y'all. We should just stop right there. But let me share this with you right quick. For you Bible scholars, I want to show you something that contrasts verse chapter 14 from chapter 15, because we always preach about amen feeding the 5,000, amen, in chapter 14, amen. But there's a difference here, because in chapter 14, you were dealing with the children. You were dealing with the Jews. And now here you're dealing with the Gentiles. Watch this. There's a universal provision right here. Watch this. In verses 35, amen, verse 35 through 37 says, when the people recognized Jesus, verse 35. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Verse 36 says, then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, thank God for them, broke them into pieces, and he gave them to the disciples who distributed the food out to the crowd. And then verse 37 says, they ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. Are y'all with me? Look at this. Number 7. There's number, look at this. Number 7 here. I'm going to get into some stuff for you Bible scholars this morning. The number 7 is the figure of wholeness. Amen? Y'all know that, right? The number of completion. 7 baskets were left over after all the people were fed. In other words, Jesus' power and supply is sufficient for the whole world, not just the whole of Israel. Amen? Are y'all with me? And what's more different is the word that was used here in the original version of its writing. Amen? When Matthew was first written, there was a word here that was used that is very profound, my brothers and sisters. They used a word here to describe the baskets, and they used the word in chapter 14. In chapter 14, the word, the baskets that were used, they were the word was kophinos. And that's a small Jewish container. Pafinos, it's a small Jewish container. So what was left over after they fed the 5,000, amen, the containers that they used for the remnant, for what was left over, was like a carryout plate. It was a small carryout. They had some left over, but it was a small carryout. But you were talking about the Jews there, the God's chosen people. Woo! Now, here, the word that is used in the original form, my brothers and sisters, it don't say, you know, because it waters it down, because we just say container, right? But here, the word that was used was sporidus, a container that the Gentiles used. So in chapter 14, there was a container that the Jews used. Now, this container, the sporidus, is the container that the Gentiles use. And this actual container, my brothers and sisters, y'all going to get crunk over this. This actual container is so large that you can put a man in it. I'm the only one excited about that. He took these few fish and these seven loaves, and he blessed all the people that really wasn't supposed to be getting the blessing because they were Gentiles. They weren't the chosen ones. But he has compassion over everybody. They heard who he was. They came. They were blessed. They had all kinds of problems. They're not the chosen one. After he blessed the most messed up folk, he got more left over from... Come on, man. Oh, hallelujah, church. So look at this, Tony. He has between 10, we don't know, but it said there was 4,000 men, not including the women and children. So you're looking at maybe between 10 and 15,000 people. They were fed to the busting point. It said they ate as much as they wanted. Y'all know how much some of y'all eat. Amen. Sister McGuire is not here, but have y'all seen Sister McGuire eat? She can go. But they ate to the point, Darren, when they were about to bust out their clothes. Some people had unbutton. Y'all know y'all. And they still had plenty to spare. And you wonder whether Jesus is sufficient to meet your needs. Some of y'all still trying to figure it out. But if Jesus can take the Gentile